Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend and colleague, Bob Dio. Bob is doing such a great job for us. I think, Bob, this is the three-week anniversary of the launch with Bustos Media. Or is it four? Three or four? Actually, 4 weeks. Wow, how time flies. Yeah, so we're at that 1 month in with Bustos Media as the new owners of KVOI. And I think the transition's gone very well. We've got construction going on with the new studios. That's really exciting. We're going to have kind of that fishbowl look where visitors can kind of watch what we're doing. And it's going to be fun. Bob Dio is on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing our show. And together we welcome you to Buckmaster on this Thursday, November the 29th, 2018. You're listening to AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. And this is kind of our new logo, Tucson's Voice for Trusted Local News and Talk. I like that because I've kind of been calling myself, since I launched the radio project, Tucson's most trusted voice. So dovetails very nicely with what I have been trying to do. And, of course, we have our podcast, Worldwide Live Listening, BuckmasterShow.com, KVOI.com has all of our programs on the live stream. The live line number is 790-2040. We're going to get right into it with Gabriel Trujillo. Dr. Trujillo is the superintendent of the largest school district in southern Arizona, and I believe still now the second largest school district in the state of Arizona, and he is heads up Tucson Unified School District. I kind of like to just call it Tucson Unified. What do you think there, Dr. Trujillo?
Well, I love it. And first of all, thank you for having me back, Bill. And hopefully you had a wonderful, restful 4-day holiday weekend.
It was nice. We took 4 days off and went to my sister-in-law's here in town for a lovely Thanksgiving dinner. And of course, you eat turkey leftovers for days. That's all part of it.
At least a week. But you are so right. I love going around the city and mm-hmm. starting to hear more people refer to our wonderful district as Tucson Unified as opposed to the old TUSD.
Well, who is what's the largest district still now in the state?
Mesa Schools.
They've had that leadership role for a long time.
Mesa Schools has had the leadership role for a long time. But interestingly, it's in a lot of ways a parallel district to the Tucson Unified School District.
Tell me.
Mesa Schools, 12 or 13 years ago, had over 85,000 students. Like the Tucson Unified School District, they have gone through the last 12, 13 years a significant decline to the extent that they're right now around 64,000 students. So they've kind of mirrored our struggles here in terms of being a large consolidated K-12 district that is also dealing with changing demographics in the city of Mesa, as we are here in Tucson Unified, as well as a presence of so many charter and private schools.
How about Phoenix Union? Weren't they one of the biggies for years?
Phoenix Union has always been the biggest high school-only district in the mm-hmm. state. I think they continue at around 28,000 students, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you talk to your colleagues around the nation, when you are an urban school district, are many of the issues the same when it comes to declining enrollment?
Yeah, there's a lot of urban districts around the country that deal with the same issue, that are still dealing with the issue that we have. It's interesting because our new chief technology officer comes from Tulsa Public Schools, and he brings a unique perspective to our school district, because he's been able to come in and say, this is kind of exactly what we went through in the city of Tulsa. We have fewer school-age children coming into the city.
Right, right.
We have cheaper homes going up on the outskirts of Tulsa and Oklahoma City. And as a result, we've had to make those tough decisions at Tulsa Public Schools. In a lot of ways, it's the TUSD or the Tucson Unified challenges also are playing out in urban districts across the country.
I know you want to welcome a new school board member to the fold. What's the timetable with the newly reconstituted board?
Well, I want to congratulate Mrs. Layla Counts for her successful campaign and officially welcome her to the district and the board. I also want to congratulate Mrs. Grijalva for a successful campaign and, of course, welcome her back for her fifth term. And also thank Michael Hicks for almost 10 years of service.
Eight years. Wow.
Yeah, he did two full terms. And whatever side of the issue our community members are or our voters out there, I think that it's always worthy of respect to have a volunteer step up and say, look, I'm going to serve on a school board. That is not an easy job. It's a big time commitment. And for him to do that for 8 years and give up his time and be so visible at our schools and our events, you know, we want to thank him for that. And we're going to have a nice reception for Mr. Hicks coming up shortly after our next board meeting.
People don't realize this is a non-paying job to being on the board.
It's a non-paying job. Absolutely. It's a love of community and schools and district to do it. So I want to thank all of those that currently serve and those like Mr. Hicks that are finishing out a successful term.
Let's go back and talk about the issues that face the big urban districts like TUSD. The enrollment situation just jumps out at you. What can be done to stop the hemorrhaging? You talked about Mason, I think Tucson Unified. Let's see, I came in 1988 to town, and I think at that point, my goodness, the enrollment was maybe, I'm going to guess here, 60,000, something like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Tucson Unified in its heyday was upwards of 63, 64,000 students. So it was a large district, just like Mesa was. And I think that over the years, you've got the presence of so many charters and private schools in the area, coupled with the changing demographics of the city. And really, when you look at what needs to be done, it's a three-pronged approach. You first, obviously, you want to make sure that you have a very effective and efficient quality marketing and recruitment campaign for your district. And we've talked about that. That needs to really be focused on the individual school, because really what sells bringing kids into the district is what the community feels about its local school. Community members are more receptive to why I need to bring my child to Maldonado versus why I need to bring my child to Tucson Unified School District, right?
And that gets lost so much.
It gets lost.
You're talking about the district rather than the school.
Families want to know what Sewell Elementary or what Fruchtendler Elementary or what Cavett Elementary has for their child. If they're going to go to that neighborhood school, they want to know, what are those performance arts opportunities that my child has? Does this school offer technology for my child? What's the quality of the teaching and learning? Which is why the A through F letter grade performance is so important and crucial for our district in that sale. I think, Bill, the second thing and the tough thing that we have to do are the structural changes in-house that make our product and make our schools more amenable to more families choosing us. So we've had a lot of discussions about high school, looking at our high schools and adding those extended day programs where kids can make up credits. We're going to start some discussions about our middle schools and what can we do differently at middle schools in terms of making them a little bit more attractive. And those are those hard discussions, because it involves looking at existing boundaries. It means looking at grade additions. Do we look at a place like Johnson, which is a very popular school over in the Pasquayaki Nation, and instead of having it be a K-2, do we have it become a K-3 if we know it's an already popular product? So I think that is a very, very real challenge that we have, is having those discussions about what can we do to our existing structures right now that we know will gain us more students in the future.
You want middle school to be a great experience, because you want the student to be energized and want to go to high school. Because the problem with the dropouts that I see anyway, in many cases, they've been turned off by the time they get to high school. They need a better experience at the elementary and middle school level. Am I on the ball here?
You are exactly on the ball. That's the third prong of the attack, Bill, that you know, you not only have the recruitment and the marketing plan, you not only examine your district for those structural changes, then you have to have a very, very solid retention effort that is system-wide, that keeps your captive audience inside the district at crucial points. Eighth grade is one, right? So eighth grade, you've got to make sure that you have highly effective and efficient recruitment and retention strategies for those eighth graders to make sure that they choose a Tucson Unified High School. And as you just mentioned, that middle school experience is key. When we're working with fifth grade families, why is it that a Tucson Unified Middle School is their best choice? So you are absolutely right on that.
We're going to take our break right here, Dr. Trujillo. He will stick around for another segment, 790-2040, if you would like to join in our noontime conversation with the superintendent at TUSD. But now, Dr. Trujillo, you know what I'm about to talk about, because you know my favorite bakery in town is Mona's. It's the home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's located on the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. This is an exciting time, Dr. Trujillo, in the bakery business. And the reason is it's the holidays.
It's the holidays.
And Mona's did such a great job serving the people of our community by providing a wide choice of these homemade pies using only the finest ingredients. The dinner rolls, which we had on our Thanksgiving table, all top-notch ingredients in those rolls. You could make a meal of those rolls. They were so delicious. And, of course, they're going to be doing the same thing at Christmas. You can put in your order at monasdanishbakery.com, or you can go to my website, buckmastershow.com. There's a link to Mona's. But right now, if you're out and about, how about lunch at Mona's? I like the hot turkey sandwich served on the rustic bread. That's kind of that, for want of a better word, kind of a real thick white bread with a little bit of seasoning in it, but it's so delicious when it's toasted up lightly. Anyway, I could talk the whole show about Mona's, but we're going to take a break right here. We'll be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. The music of Chicago, a little bumper music there, the song Only the Beginning. Beginnings, very appropriate for KVOI with local talk, 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. This portion of the program presented by Green Things. Oh my goodness, there is so much going on over there. Where do I begin? 25,000 poinsettias available for you, many of them going out, of course, spoken for, going to groups, but there's a ton that are available for you for decorating your home and getting into the holiday spirit. There's the poinsettias, then there's the whole thing with Zocalo, the home that used to be of all that great merchandise from Mexico and Latin America. They're now over at Green Things on their 13-acre site. In fact, there's a whole Zocalo village. So Green Things now has become a destination in itself at 3384 East River Road, not only for your nursery supplies and poinsettias, but all of the great merchandise over at Zocalo. We have such great sponsors here. I'm just so proud of these people. Dr. Gabriel Trujillo is with us, superintendent of the Tucson Unified School District. We bring him on the program and do so every other month. In your last visit, Dr. Trujillo, it had not become official yet, but you did break the news that there was good academic news for the district. And let's elaborate a little bit on that.
Well, it's the red letter achievement for what's been my first full year as superintendent. And every superintendent has one top priority when they come into a district, increase student achievement. And it has just been an amazing, amazing opportunity to celebrate the fact that a quarter of the entire system, we're talking 81 schools that are measured on the A through F letter grade system, of those 81, 22 on a school-by-school basis, increased a full letter grade. And for those of you out there in the community, just to kind of give you a little bit of a perspective, Arizona's A through F criteria for school quality, it's intense, it's comprehensive. It's not just the AZ merit. We're talking about all kinds of other measures, like at the high school level, the amount of students that take and pass CTE courses, the amount of language-limited students that score fluent on the English language development exit test, the percentage of special education students that show progress on the AZ merit test. I mean, there's a lot of different performance indicators. Most schools might move 5 or 6 points, which is half of a letter grade, but to get 22 schools to go 10 or more points and actually move the needle, an entire letter grade, F, D, D, C, C to B, B to A, I think is a testament to the instructional improvement that's going on throughout the system. And I'm very proud of our schools and our teachers and our principals for that leadership that's been able to foster such a strong turnaround, to the extent we are one of the strongest one-year turnarounds in the state. You will not find a lot of districts. You won't find any here in Pima County. You might find a few in Maricopa County where 25% of its entire district actually achieved an entire letter grade jump. So it's the red letter achievement for our team for this year.
What do you attribute that to?
One of the things that we did, you know, when in the first year of a superintendency, especially as an interim, you're assessing, you're listening to people, you're going in, and you're diagnosing where are the urgent situations. So when the 16-17 performance data came out, and those letter grades were issued based off of performance in the year 16-17, and we had over 30 DNF schools, we knew that we had a crisis situation, especially with enrollment. And one of the things that you want to do immediately when you're dealing with enrollment is you want to significantly improve the instructional reputation and quality of the schools. That's going to be the biggest seller. So that was our big focus, was to get into those schools and really do three big things, Bill. The first was get in there and say, all right, key and crucial professional development for our teachers. We've got to find a way to put it during their workday instead of inconveniencing them and having to do it during the summer and having to have them do it outside of their workday. They work hard enough, right? The second prong of the attack was we have to find a way to provide during the school day opportunities for struggling students to get help in English and math. We can no longer rely on them coming in after school. And that was a game breaker, being able to identify those students that were struggling on AZ Merit and
within the confines of the school day.
Within the confines of the school
schedule.
Absolutely.
Not off hours.
And then the third big crucial piece of that three-pronged plan was being able to deploy resources quicker and more efficiently. Tablets in every K-3 classroom so that the students would get access to that support software, making sure that our infrastructure with technology for the high schools, the instructional software for Ingenuity, which is the software that we use for struggling students with English and math. We were able to dramatically expand the amount of licenses that would be available to schools for these intervention efforts. So we sort of had a three-headed attack that we knew we had to be intentional and aggressive, and it's shown some great results for us with AZ Merit. So we want to keep moving forward until we don't have a single D school left.
How about 2019? What are your challenges?
I think 2019, you touched on it. The challenge of our times here in the Tucson Unified School District is enrollment. Without increased enrollment, you're not getting the revenue to support financially all of the wonderful things that you know you have to do for kids, you know you have to do for young people. If you're not getting that enrollment, you cannot buy the instruments for those wonderful performance arts programs. You can't put the uniforms on the backs of our athletes. You can't pay the teachers what we know that they deserve to be paid. You can't fix the buildings and the buses. So for us, it's enrollment. I mean, that's a huge challenge. And then, of course, working with the new configuration of our board and starting to think more strategically and operating from the perspective of let's get together and talk about what we as a new board, what is our mission and vision that we see? What do we want? What are our goals for the district? And from there, starting the discussion about a strategic plan.
Security has been beefed up. Are you pleased with the way that has all been rolled out this school year?
Yeah, that if the academic achievement was the red letter,
right,
significant achievement that we were able to attain, I think right behind it was a significant investment and improvement in the safety in the infrastructure of our schools. Now with every single school having a keyless entry system.
What are they reporting, the schools?
The schools love it. The schools love the fact that they control who comes in and out now. There's no more walking in. And I want to thank our board. They invested just shy of $1 million of our school plant fund budget, which is the sale of closed schools and sale of schools that are leased, those proceeds we see from the leased buildings. And they put almost $1 million into safety and infrastructure, fencing projects, keyless entry systems, better intercoms. So they showed that they also value school safety and security. And they also voted in our last governing board meeting to bring back our school resource officers, which I think is another commitment
that's
they've shown.
Good. That's
absolutely
good news. Yes.
Absolutely.
All right. So to wrap things up here with our every other month visit with Dr. Gabriel Trujillo, there are a couple of certainly those are the academics' very crowning achievement there, and with the security, and then looking ahead about enrollment. Enrollment is not off as much dramatically this year, I understand, as in years past. Was there a slight improvement there?
We pretty much lost.
A slight improvement in the decrease?
It's the same amount of students that we lost last year, yeah.
Right.
And that is, we've been able to look at, hey, the biggest crux of this issue is as we're graduating seniors out, we don't have enough kindergarten-aged, K-3-aged students coming in at the other end of the pipeline due a lot to the shifting demographics that we're seeing in the city of Tucson. So it continues to be the great challenge.
Dr. Trujillo, thank you very much. I hope you have a blessed holiday season.
Thank you, Bill. I look forward to my return in what would be 2019.
There you go. Diane Kiwis is coming up next. She is with the actually treasurer of the Industrial Development Authority of Pima County. We're going to find out what that is all about as we kick off our renew another season of our CEO interview series presented by Sun Corridor Incorporated. It's 12:30 on Buckmaster. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, where it is time for our CEO interview series presented by Sun Corridor Incorporated. a transformative economic development organization representing one of the most dynamic and growing major business centers in North America, Sun Corridor Inc. is a CEO-driven regional alliance whose members aggressively champion mega-regional issues that impact economic competitiveness and quality of life. The organization has helped to drive significant business investment into Tucson and the Southern Arizona region through primary job creation, resulting in an economic impact of nearly $25 billion with 155 company locates and expansions, supporting more than 44,000 jobs. For more information, visit suncorridorinc.com. Joining me is Diane Kiwis, Principal Relationship Manager and VP for Wells Fargo Business Banking. Ms. Kiwis is a member of the Sun Corridor Chairman's Circle, and she volunteers and serves as an officer on the board of the Industrial Development Authority of Pima County. Diane, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bill. How are you?
Doing very well. Thank you for asking. Let's begin with the basics. Who or what is the Industrial Development Authority of Pima County? What is your mission?
The Pima IDA is a nonprofit corporation separate from Pima County, which is governed by a community volunteer board appointed by the Board of Supervisors of Pima County. Its powers are set forth in the Arizona statutes, but its primary purpose is to assist in the financing of statutorily approved projects as a conduit issuer of revenue bonds. This results in a less expensive form of financing for those entities who use the IDA. So the Pima IDA provides financing options to local entities without pledging its own taxpayer monies. In Arizona, each jurisdiction can have an IDA. What makes the Pima IDA unique is its innovative approach and that the board has tried to use its powers to impact the citizens of Pima County. One example of this is that the Pima IDA is a strong supporter and advocate for maintaining affordable housing in Pima County. Another example is that each approved project generates economic development in Pima County.
What are some, Diane, tell us a few of the misconceptions about Pima IDA.
The most obvious misperception about the Pima IDA, as well as IDAs in general, is that they are only involved with industrial projects. The use of industrial in the entity name causes that confusion, but the Arizona IDA statutes allow many more purposes. In addition to manufacturing facilities, the Pima IDA has issued its bonds for hospitals, senior living complexes, apartment complexes, nonprofits, utilities, and charter schools. As indicated, the IDA's governing statutes broadly define the project of the IDA and what they may issue bonds for. Often, the real restrictions impacting conduit bond financing are the federal tax laws impacting the IDA bond issuance, which state when the bond will be exempt from federal taxes and state taxes.
Diane, is there another misunderstanding about a lack of understanding about a conduit issuer? That's kind of confusing to people.
It is, and I agree. Another misperception about the Pima IDA, as well as all IDAs, is a lack of understanding about a conduit issuer. In the simplest of terms, a conduit issuer means that the IDA is only acting as a pass-through between the borrower for a project and the ultimate purchaser of the conduit bond. No Pima County revenues or taxpayer dollars are used or pledged in a conduit bond. So long as all tax requirements are met, the bond can be treated as tax exempt, and neither Pima County nor the state have any liability for the repayment of the bond, and the IDA only owes to the extent of the collateral for the bonds. The borrower is solely liable for bond repayments as well as the success of the projects.
It gets rather confusing, but I know there is also this PEMA IDA bonds are kind of misinterpreted, correct, as obligations to Pima County, like sewer bonds, for example.
Right. Yeah. You're correct, Bill. You're correct. Sometimes the PEMA IDA bonds are misinterpreted as obligations of Pima County, like general obligation bonds or the sewer bonds that you mentioned. To be very clear, they are not the same. The PEMA IDA has no taxing authority or powers. Further, credit underwriting for these conduit bonds is based solely on the borrower and its credit. The general credit of PEMA IDA, the county, or the state is not considered. So unlike general obligation bonds, there is no taxpayer monies being pledged for repayment.
Diane, why is this important to the community? What would you like our listeners to take away from our conversation today?
From a conduit bond issuance standpoint, the PEMA IDA has been acting as a bridge for public-private partnerships since before that term was used. The PEMA IDA as a public body is aiding in the financing relationship between private parties in the form of the conduit tax-exempt bonds. The borrower and the bondholder are assuming the risk of a project failure, but with the assistance of the PEMA IDA is gaining the benefit of tax-exempt financing. It is also important to know that interest rates and the bond market are the driving forces for this type of financing. As interest rates rise from historical lows, tax-exempt financing may become more popular choice for borrowers. Additionally, outside of the bond world, it is important for the community to know that PEMA IDA spends its time and resources in an effort to best impact Pima County. The PEMA IDA focuses its efforts on housing, small business development, nonprofits, education, predatory lending, as well as commercial, industrial, and economic development. We would like people to know that if they have a project that fits into the PEMA IDA statutory requirements, we are more than willing to consider how the PEMA IDA can get involved. The PEMA IDA understands the importance of development such as public-private partnerships, and we are willing to assist in a variety of ways. If you tell us what you may need, we can then communicate how the PEMA IDA may be able to contribute to the project's success.
Diane, how has this helped the overall economic picture in Pima County?
As a business leader in the financial community, as well as the PEMA IDA board member, I believe my role is to aid in bridging the relationship between the public and private sector, specifically by communicating with other business leaders about the unique options and assistance the PEMA IDA can provide. Cooperation between public and private organizations is obviously a key to economic development success in a region.
And how long have you been involved with the IDA?
I've been involved with the IDA approximately 6 years, initially with the support organization of the Community Investment Corporation, and then I transitioned into the PEMA IDA board.
Diane Kiwis, thank you very much. Where can people find out more about the IDAs?
We have a website under the Industrial Development Authority of Pima County. And then, of course, anybody willing to talk or needing to talk or needing more information can always call me at 792-5356. And we also have the law firm of Russo, Russo & Slania that is extremely knowledgeable in this area, and they can be reached at 520-529-1515.
Diane Kiwis, thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you. Diane Kiwis, a member of the Sun Corridor Chairman's Circle at Sun Corridor, Inc. She also volunteers, as she was saying, 6 years now on the board of the IDA, the Industrial Development Authority of Pima County. All right, this portion of our program, the upcoming portion presented by Mona's Danish Bakery, it's a great opportunity to stop by Mona's right now, have lunch, and then talk to Steve, the owner, about putting in your order for Christmas, for your Christmas rolls and pies. And while you're there, why not pick up some great Christmas cookies? Steve has piles of these containers filled with Christmas cookies. I don't know, there must be several dozen cookies in each container, but boy, you'll make a hit at the office by bringing in those tomorrow to work. The Christmas cookie season is upon us, and so is the Danish Kringle season, because Mona's is the home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's located northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. You can go to their website, monasdanishbakery.com, for more information. You can also check out buckmastershow.com. There's a link to Mona's. There's a link to Sun Corridor Inc., all of our great sponsors at buckmastershow.com. 12:45. We'll be right back. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies, as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Welcome back.
back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, makes a great getaway. Just a three-hour drive from Tucson. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for a complete listing of the many places to stay and the dozen or so, well, there's actually several dozen recreation opportunities at least in that area. Historic Silver City, you can just hang out there. Lots to do in Silver City and, of course, the surrounding areas. A lot of recreation ideas and exploring, like the Gila National Wilderness or the historic Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument, southwestnewmexico.org. Andres Cano joins us now. Andres, second youngest elected official now in the Arizona House of Representatives. He will be representing District Number 3. He is a Democrat. Andres, congratulations.
Thank you so much, Bill. It's an honor to be with you.
Well, my goodness, what can you say? You've ran a great campaign, and now you're up in the Arizona House of Representatives. I know you were up in Phoenix meeting folks and looking at this class. How does it shape up?
Well, you know, it's an exciting time for the Arizona legislature and for the party that I belong to. It's a good day. We were able in the 2018 midterms to elect a state house that's now 29 Democrats and 31 Republicans. It's the first time that we've had such a large split since the 1960s. For me, you know, I'm excited about being able to serve my district, but more than anything, I'm looking forward to getting work done and working across the aisle on issues that are important. And obviously, education, water, protecting our environment, those are all issues at the top of the list in this upcoming legislative session, and all eyes are on us at this point.
Well, one would hope that this closer alignment of Republicans and Democrats would mean folks working together on mutual areas of interest.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, they're nine millennials, and I think for us, there was actually an article in the Arizona Republic yesterday that really mentioned that what we're looking to do in this upcoming legislature is to get work done. And I really, really have hope that if we just get to a table, focus on the issues that will lift Arizonans up, that will enhance our economy, and that will create good jobs, we're going to have an opportunity to write a bright new chapter for our state story. And I'm just grateful to the voters for allowing me to be a part of that.
You're 26 years old. You really got involved when you were 14. How did all that begin?
Yeah. Well, you know, I was raised by a single mom, and she taught me early on to always set, you know, a direction that was focused, laser focused. And so I got a summer job with the county working for the wastewater department one summer, did that for two. Met the county administrator, and then I met Supervisor Elias, who's been a big mentor at the county and a friend and a boss. And it's funny, the same District 3 residents that I'll be representing in the incoming legislative session are almost all within District 5, which I've had the honor of representing on behalf of the chairman for the last 6 years. So, you know, looking forward to continuing all of that advocacy and constituent services when I'm at the Capitol.
How about your internship with now the late Congressman Ed Pastore?
Well, really hard day yesterday, of course, to get news of his passing. I think what he taught all of us really is that you're there to serve people, and you have to pay close attention to what folks are asking when they elect you. And so we'll always cherish those opportunities that I had to speak with him directly. He was just at a reception for my election in May, and I'm just grateful that I was able to give him the big hug and handshake that he was so famous for.
Who was the driving force in your life? Your grandmother?
Grandmother is an important one, yes. If you're familiar with Tucson history, there was a plant on the south side called Brush Wellman, worked with beryllium in powder form. She unfortunately got that into her lungs and you know, got a horrible chronic lung disease that ended up taking her life. And so I learned very early on about, you know, environmental protection, workers' protection. And now, you know, with an opportunity at the legislature to be on two very influential committees, one of those being House Ways and Means Committee, as well as Natural Resources, Energy and Water. I mean, I'm looking forward to bringing all of that life experience and hardship, really, to being able to get work done for the people of Arizona.
You know, water issues just seem to take back burner and under the radar, but they're so important, and you're involved with on the Water Committee. What will be, some had said that last session, water would be a big issue. I remember that was kind of one of the marquee issues we talked about in early 2018. We talked about education. We talked about water. The water issue never really materialized. Think this time it might?
Absolutely. We have to have a serious conversation about this. I mean, we could be facing significant shortfalls as soon as 2020. And so it's a two-way street, and then you got to get all of the major players involved, the governments, the tribes to come together. But also, you know, as one individual person, we also, and family, we have an opportunity to ensure that we're protecting our most precious resource, and that's water. And so, you know, whatever we can do to plan accordingly and to be smart and to be fair in the planning process, we're ready to get to work.
How about your team in District 3? You've got three Democrats.
We've got three Democrats in District 3.
Tell our listeners who they are,
sure.
other than yourself, of
Absolutely.
Course.
Absolutely. My seatmate in the State House is Alma Hernandez, and in the State Senate, it's Sally Ann Gonzalez, and looking forward to working with them. Our district includes the University of Arizona, downtown, the west side and south side, and so if you really look at us in terms of all the most important places that are in Tucson, I'd like to say that they're in Legislative District 3.
There you go. See if we can get a quick question in from David, who called us at 790-2040. He'd like to talk about the water situation. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, I have a comment on what's driving our water, impending water crisis. It all has to do with land use choices. We're taking out the natural desert, which does not use a drop of supplemental water. We're scraping it clean and replacing thousands and thousands of homes, cookie-cutter development, little tiny lots, five houses to an acre, and it uses a lot of water. Average household uses about 100,000 gallons of water a year. You put five houses to an acre, so every acre it's scraped and turned into development. It's going to require 500,000 gallons of water per year to maintain, and all that water is being pumped out of the Colorado River, dropping Lake Mead, and once it gets down to the Deadpool level, they won't be able to pull any more water out of the Colorado River, and it won't be able to generate any more power, and then we're going to have massive power shortages.
Okay, thank you, David. Let's hear what Representative-elect Andres Cano has to say about it.
Thank you so much, David, for the question. I 100% agree with you. We have to be smart in the planning of land use, of development in our region, and water is going to be at the very core of that. And so I share your sentiments, and I also would like to say that, you know, we as consumers also have to demand something different as well. There's so many beautiful habitat in our Sonoran Desert that if you give it a chance, instead of the palm trees or the swimming pools, you're going to have a beautiful place.
All right. Economic picture. What's the financial situation? What were you hearing in Phoenix, Andres?
Well, I think in this upcoming legislative session, we're going to see lots of discussion about the good economic forecast that we have for the state of Arizona. We have a $900 million surplus right now, and there are going to be a lot of lawmakers like myself who are going to want to bring those resources back to our districts. I'm certainly paying attention to transportation and infrastructure as one of my core priorities, because we need to do something about our roads, and we need our legislature to be focused on that as well. And so I think, Bill, it'll be a contentious discussion of who gets a piece of the $900 million, and I hope the listeners today know that I'll be fighting for Southern Arizona.
Also, there's going to be oversight, hopefully, on charter schools. That's going to be a big issue. Also,
definitely,
following up to make sure the governor's promises about teacher raises come true.
Absolutely. And for me, you know, I'm a first-generation college grad. Public schools made my life story possible. We have to keep our teachers here in Arizona. We have to pay them fairly and keep the Red for Ed movement alive. And so we're absolutely going to be paying attention to that as well.
How does your life change now? You know, you're going to be commuting up to Phoenix. All the lawmakers that are from Southern Arizona have to have a residency in Phoenix. This is kind of a
It's a life change.
Yeah, a life change. It is. How do you approach something like that?
Well, you know, for me, my decision to run for the legislature was really based on a simple fact, and that's that I didn't see young folks like me, people of color, representing us at the state capitol. And so I really used, you know, that diversity and that personality really of mine of wanting to get things done as a core part of our message to voters. And for me, it's part of the sacrifice of being able to write a bright new chapter for our state. It is a tremendous sacrifice. I mean, you gotta, have two homes, you have to travel, you have to commute, and it's on a $24,000 salary. I'm not here to complain, but what I am hopeful that folks recognize in my response is that this is hard work, and I'm up for the task, and I'm glad that the voters believed in our vision.
Did this election show that Latinos and Hispanics do make a difference and are going to vote?
This was the first time that we saw a significant investment in turnout among Latino communities, and that came through financial commitments to the state from people from all walks of life, not just here, but throughout the country. And, you know, of the $26 million that was spent, absolutely, we had the highest turnout both in the primary and the November midterm elections. Unprecedented, obviously a huge part of how we've been able to get some statewide positions as Democrats and ultimately become a state chamber that is going to be more evenly divided among the parties.
Andres Cano, newly elected District 3 state representative. Good luck to you, Andres.
Thank you so much, Bill.
It's another feather in your very young cap. My goodness, this young man has accomplished so much already, and he's 26. That's the Buckmaster Show for this Thursday. Chuck Huckleberry tomorrow. That's going to be an interesting session at noon for our Friday Focus interview. On behalf of my engineer producer, Bob Dio, and Andres Cano, we hope you have a great afternoon and evening.